All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February the 11th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is the Super Bowl Sunday. Very excited. Very excited and very sad because, you know, football's ending. I will say at sort of at the end of the season, I've sort of lost a little bit of interest. Like, another football game. But it is a Super Bowl. Big fan. I was telling my wife or somebody, I go, I think this is probably one of the most neutral Super Bowls I can ever remember, at least in my life, because I love both teams. Maybe I'm breaking the rules. Maybe you're not supposed to actually like more than one football team. I grew up in Albuquerque. My mom was a huge Cowboys fan, right? She loved, I don't know, whoever the quarterback was back in her day, she loved him, right? And she was a big Cowboys fan. And so as her son and watching her, I've became a Cowboys fan, just like my kids, except for my daughter. She's a Rebel. She's an Eagles fan. And that's cool. My son is a Cowboys fan, and he's also a 49ers fan. We like Cowboys, and we like the 49ers. But growing up as a Cowboys fan, and then moving to the East Coast, which just does not settle in well here. It's like the most hated, the biggest rivalry, the Cowboys and the Eagles. And I happen to be a Cowboys fan. But I'm also a big fan of other teams. You know, I love football, right? I love it, and I'm a big 49ers fan. I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. I love Mahomes. I love Purdy. I love Kittle. I love Kelce. I love what? Just a great Super Bowl, right? Everybody in the damn thing is great. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to having some friends over. My paddle coach is going to come over, him and his girlfriend, and bring in his mother, who we love. And my dad's coming over. My in-laws are coming over. And then another buddy of mine, Ben, and his wife and daughter may come over. His daughter's been a little under the weather, but I hope they do. And, you know, super excited, looking forward to it. But at the same time, a little bummed out that football is ending. And, we'll see how that goes. But it should be a good day. Great day to be sober. Definitely looking forward to that. Or not looking forward to, but grateful for that. I live in a time, the times, right? There's just so much video of dumb people, right? Just dumb fucking people doing dumb, stupid things. And it never ceases to amaze me. And most of, like, I was watching, I guess they had the Phoenix Open, which is a big golf tournament they have in Arizona. And, oh man, these videoing people who are drunk is just too freaking funny. And I mean, part of me is like, that's sad. I remember, but that, you know, that walk where you just can't quite get yourself right, just can't quite get yourself on track. Just it's obvious that eventually this guy or gal will be taking a tumble, and oh, it's brutal. I can't stop watching these dumbass people, man.
We'll be right back.
Motley. Good. Those are the good old days of Motley Crue. Freaking Shout at the Devil, Red Hot. Man, what a freaking, that's such a good song, man. Such a great band. Vince Neil, he has not evolved well, poor fella. You know, he's probably a guy that could definitely benefit from maybe not drinking and drugging, or I don't even, you know, he may not even drink and drug. Maybe he just overeats. I don't know what it is, but man, he is not in good shape, unfortunately. And I saw this video of Motley Crue just recently performing with another guy singing. I don't know what the situation or scenario that led to that happening, but when it happened, it was amazing because the band still sounds fantastic. The struggles are within the vocals, and which is sad, right? You know, it is one of those. You know, I was always as a guy that grew up in the 80s, man, I loved, you know, Bon Jovi and Motley Crue and Scorpions and all these great bands and Tesla, and the struggle starts to be in the vocals, right? These guys can play guitars and drums and whatever it is, but the vocal is the, you know, the litmus test of the band. And yeah, I was, you know, a big fan of Pat McAfee. Obviously, they're down in Las Vegas this week, excuse me, on Radio Row, and they went to the Sphere. The Sphere is that big, the MGM Sphere, I think is what it's called, and it's this big, huge sphere where bands can play, and U2's been doing a residency there, and they've been showing a lot of the shows on YouTube of the Sphere with YouTube, and Bono stinks. Sorry, Bono. Sorry, U2 fans, but Bono's days are over. And he can get through it, but it's not good. And everybody realizes it, and it's sad. Right? It's sad. And obviously, they're just in it for... I shouldn't say it. Obviously, they are getting paid well, right? And they have a big draw. But like the folks on the Pat McAfee show were like, Bono's terrible. Ty Schmidt was like, Bono sucks. And I won't say that, but, you know, it's unfortunate. And but Motley Crue, great band. Great to grow up with that band. They'll figure it out. But, yeah, it is football. And, you know, it is another great day of being sober, not being obviously in the bottle. I had a rough day yesterday. You know, I had COVID. I don't know. It's probably been 6 weeks now. And I've still struggled with this, you know, this lung junk that's going on. And it's not that bad. It's only bad when I, like, try to do a podcast or, you know, having a conversation. Or really when it's bad is when I'm lazy. If that makes any sense. If I sit on that couch and lean over and lounge back, I get really, I feel terrible. I only really feel well when I'm up on my feet, moving, doing things. But when I get lazy and lean back, my lungs feel like they get like that. And it's annoying. And but I've been dealing with it. I think it's the time of the year. I think it's, I'm saying it's from COVID. I really don't know. I'm not taking any medication. I know a lot of people are taking whatever that medicine that clears out your lungs, Mucinex. I know a lot of people are taking tons of Mucinex. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to take anything, and just hopefully it'll naturally start to clear itself out, and it will. But, man, one of the things that happens with me when I get sick, especially sinus infections, is that my ears get clogged up. And when that does end, right, the sinus infection finally ends, whatever, and it all sort of clears up, at some point my ears pop, right? They pop. They've been clogged. There's a big pop, right? And then all of a sudden the world starts spinning. And it reminds me, it's just like being drunk, right? When the room starts spinning. I get nauseous. I almost want to puke. It's really bad. And it's vertigo. It's a vertigo or a spell of vertigo or a moment of it. I know people live with it, right? Some people suffer with it all the time. This usually just happens to me when my ears get clogged up. And yesterday was one of those days, but it didn't have this real moment of popping, right? I came to work yesterday. My first client was at 8. I wasn't feeling I just still am not feeling great, right? I'm just still kind of working through it, but came to work, had my first client at 8, did that, and then I had my next client came in and did a color, and while she was processing, I was just sitting here looking at my phone, kind of tilted down, and I lifted up my head, and I just was dizzy, and the dizziness just didn't go away, and I was feeling more nauseous and more dizzy. And I have clients, and then I have another client coming in. And then I had another lady that came in. She's like, yeah, you said you could do my hair today. I'm like, no, I didn't, right? No, I didn't. And she's like, yeah, we talked. And I go, how long ago? 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, I was a jackass. It was not very pleasant because I was feeling awful. And I still don't really understand how, you know, in the business I'm in, people will come in and you know, I'm not going to say that they're shady, but there are people that will come in and say, yeah, we talked and you said I could get on your book. I don't always remember. sometimes I think they're just trying to get a service. Because, you know, it's hard to get into some of these salons around here. So I don't know what it is. That's how I felt yesterday. Because usually, you know, and I've talked about it, I'm trying to be better on certain things. And people will say, hey, can you fit me in? And I'll say, yeah, go ahead and come in on that day. And I don't write it down or I don't put it on my schedule and they come in and I'm annoyed. And so I've been making this effort to try and put things on the schedule that, you know, when that happens so that I do not become annoyed because it's frustrating. It's frustrating when people come in and they say they have an appointment and I don't remember telling them to come in. Right. And so I'm trying to be better, trying to find peace and serenity. Right. And so this lady comes in and she's like, yeah, you said I could come in 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, nah, wouldn't do it. I'm better. And then she's like, bro. And I go, my name's Tom, not bro. Right. It's kind of a dicky thing to say. I mean, I don't know what my problem was. I know what my problem was. I felt terrible. I was having vertigo. I was dizzy. I was nauseous. I didn't feel well. I did not want to be at work. You know, when you just don't feel well, you just don't want to be there. I did not want to be there. Everything was annoying. And I just wanted to go home and lay down. Because vertigo, when that sort of thing happens, at least for me, it feels like being seasick. And there's nothing worse than being seasick or motion sickness, something like that. You just want to curl up in a fucking fetal position and not open your eyes. And that's what I wanted to do yesterday, and I couldn't because I was working, so I was super frustrated. And, you know, it showed. And this lady's like, please. I go, I can put you on the book sometime next week, but I'm not doing your hair today. And she's like, yes. And I found a spot for her, and then I apologized, and I gave her a hug because I was being an ass. And I feel like I'm going to – in fact, after I do this podcast, I'm going to call her and apologize again because it was just – it wasn't really – I don't want to say it was excusable because I did feel terrible. But that isn't her fault, and she didn't know that. And so I just feel like I need to explain. This is the program, right? This is the program working in my life. I just need to call this lady and say, hey, you know, yesterday I was being a little bit of a jerk. I apologize. This was why. Still not acceptable, and I owe you an apology. And because I feel bad about it today, right? It was yesterday, and I feel bad about it. I'm dragging this rock around. And would I drink over this? No, I would not drink over this. Would I drink over doing this 10 times? Maybe. You know, I don't know. I don't want to drag rocks, right? In the past, I could drag 10 rocks, right? I'm dragging all sorts of shit around. I was being a jerk to that lady. I was a jerk to this person. I had expectations of this person. You never know. You never know what it is and how many rocks you can drag around. But if it's the right combination, who knows what it can make me do, right? If I start behaving badly, if I start making bad choices and they start having bad actions, and if I do it long enough, maybe I start feeling like I'm, you know, hopeless. Maybe a drink starts to become optional. I don't know. I don't remember how it happened the last time. I just remember... I do remember this sort of voice. You know, I say voice. I think it's a, you know, maybe a craving. Maybe it was a craving in a different form, right? But there was some thought that said, hey, I don't like the way this is going here. Let's go find a different meaning. and then never found one. I do remember that, right? I do remember this voice that was like, hey, maybe you should try drinking again. Maybe just beer. We'll talk to your wife. Had the conversation, tricked her, and then we were drinking again. I remember that, right? And then I remember, why are we drinking beer? Maybe we should just drink vodka, right? It's always this voice and this, you know, this negotiations. And I don't know what takes me there. But I know one thing, there's a lot of stuff that this program teaches me to build a foundation to not get there, right? And this is one of them. When I feel like I maybe was a little bit out of line, I need to make clean it up, right? Make it amends. You know, if I was going to do a four step on this, what's my problem? Inconvenience, right? Ego, not getting what I want. What do I want? I want to not be here. Right? And, you know, I'm not just a jerk to every human. I don't want to be here. And if you're going to be a person that's going to try to keep me here longer, I'm going to have a problem with it, right? Ego, pride, you know, so I'm going to make a phone call today. I do feel better today. I went home yesterday feeling so terrible, right? And if that's a crazy thing. How can I feel this terrible? And an hour ago, I felt just fine. And for me, it's in my ears. There's crystals in your ears. It messes with your equilibrium, and then it's like being drunk, right? At some point, I opened my eyes, and everything was spinning sideways. Like, my eyes were just, it was rough. And but about 2 o'clock, I had to get some, I think we ordered some pizza or something, because I just hadn't eaten, and finally had something to eat, and then I started to feel better. Feel great today, like it never happened, which was crazy, because it's pretty severe. Thank God for that. I don't want to feel like that anymore. another thing is that, you know, I was starting to do this podcast, and my buddy James called. My phone started ringing, and I was like, oh, shit, it's my buddy James, right? And I've shared before in this, I've had a little bit of a resentment towards him that... I don't know if it's fair. It's not fair because none of my business, right? I need to keep my nose pointed in the right direction and not worry about other people, right? And that's sort of what I've been doing. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I have an opinion, right? And I shouldn't. And so I've just sort of, I don't know. It is one of the crazy, he is one of my best friends. And for some reason, our relationship has kind of gotten into this place where I'm just sort of kind of negative towards it. And I shouldn't be. It's addiction. It's the devil in me, right? It's the devil. It's something that keeps it, that comes into my life and pushes me away from people that are important. And it gives me 100 different reasons why he's not doing this, he's not doing that. I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe he's doing this. And all of a sudden it's the same voice that talks me into shit is the same voice that talks me out of shit, like relationships. And my buddy James and I have been friends ever since I've been sober. He was a pillar of a man. You know, he's the guy. I'm like, this guy, right? He was a doctor, right? I had so many empty spaces in my life when I came into this program. I remember, I can be friends with a doctor, right? Check that box off. That's awesome. And so he was just such a huge part of me getting sober. He was, you know, if I came into this program when I did and I didn't make any friends, right, I didn't do all the suggestions, get involved, go to meetings, find men's groups, get a sponsor. I don't know if James ever has been my sponsor. I don't remember that. I think we've always just been friends. But now we've been friends and doing this so long, now these voices come in and say, oh, he's not doing it good enough. How come he's not going to enough meetings? How come? It's like, don't worry. None of your business. Don't worry about him. Right? Because when you start worrying about him, you start finding things that I think are a problem. And then all of a sudden, I'm not calling him anymore. I'm not hanging out with James anymore. He's not doing it like I think he should, which is fucking stupid. Right? But, you know, we are doing our own thing. And I'm aware of it, that for some reason what he does seems to be part of my business, and I've been really making a lot of effort to not make it my business. And you know, my phone rang today, it was Jimmy K. What's up, brother? You know, it's so funny. Like, we can, I don't know about if this happens to other people, but, you know, I can build up this sort of, this wall between me and my good friends. It happens with everything, with all my friends. I start to build this wall. And I think it's absolutely my addiction. It's that self side of me. It's the devil, whatever you want to call it. It wants to separate me from everything that I like, right? And it starts to give me the bricks to build the wall. He did this, you know, he's done that. Well, he's done nothing, right? But this is what my self-centered side, addiction, the devil, lower power, whatever you want to call it, right? Ego, pride, they're just handing me these bricks. Let's build this wall. Let's keep these sons of bitches away. And that's how it goes down. And it was starting to happen with my buddy James, and he called and kicked down that wall. And one of my issues with him, and it's not, he is fucking stellar. He's a great guy. But one of my issues is that I feel, and this happened with a lot of people, right? We had the pandemic. We got into these Zoom meetings, which he did. I didn't particularly care for him, but he loved them, right? And he was going to a lot of Zoom. And then after the pandemic's over, we get meetings back over. A lot of people stayed in the Zoom meetings. They don't want to, for whatever reason, they're not coming back to meetings. They're just doing Zoom. In my mind, that's wrong, right? In my mind, that's wrong because the newcomers need people. Like when we came in, there were people here. There were old timers here. There were people that welcomed us. Ron M, you know, all of those guys. Right. If it wasn't for all those guys, I wouldn't have made it. Right. I wouldn't have gotten sober. And I believe, right, and the program tells us this, it's written down, right? Having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, our only job now is to be here for the next, not drink, right, but be here for the newcomer, right? The program knew there would become a time where we would feel like we didn't need to go to meetings anymore. So they put in a pre-written statement saying, when you feel that way, just remember you have got to keep coming back for the newcomer. And so I'm like, you should be here, Mud. You need, you know, getting poking my nose in other people's business. I know everyone just rolled their eyes, but that's what I'm doing. I'm like, how come you're not coming to meetings? You know, you should be coming to meetings and be there for the newcomer. It's an inconvenience. Right? It sucks. It's boring. It's all that. And that's the cross we bear, right? And so I've had this opinion about him and other people. I shouldn't. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But that is how human nature is, I guess. And so my solution is I'm just, you know, teach his own, do your thing. I'm not reaching out. And I guess we'll just go our separate ways. And that's what this, you know, that's the cravings, right? That's what the voices have been telling me. Don't call him. And hey, good being friends. Good being friends. My phone rang today and it was Jimmy K. And he's like, I need to be at more meetings. I went to a meeting this morning. I'm like, you did? He's like, yeah, somebody asked me to go to a meeting. So I went this morning. It was great. I need to get back to meetings. I need to start being there for the newcomer. I'm like, yes. Right. He even feels that way. And yeah, I love that guy. And I'm sorry I had ill thoughts. I apologize. I don't want to, right? I don't want to. It's weird how, you know, I was looking at my Facebook. This guy was writing something about something, and I'm like, and I felt like writing something, right? Something negative. I'm like, yeah, really, right? And then I stopped myself. I'm like, why? Why is it that you, Tom, want to do that? Right? And it always, I want to do it all the time. I want to tell people, shut your mouth, right? I want to tell people you're an idiot. I want to tell people what a foolish thing they do or what a fool they are. But that's not my position, right? But there's something inside me that does. And I hate that, right? I don't go, oh, my God, I love what you just said. That's so positive, right? I'm always, my first thought is negative. And, you know, I recognize it today, right? Oh, you know, it's weird. Every time I lay down to go to sleep, I always imagine, for some reason, something tragic. A car crash, something happening to somebody negative. And I don't know why. And I tell myself, why is that the first thing you always think about? Something negative. It's weird. And I hate it. And, you know, instead of going, hey, man, we're all doing our own thing. And over time, we'll get through it. And we'll be back. It'll all work out. Right? I'm like, nope, this is the end. This is the end. My only friend. I'm over it. And then I get to, it's frustrating. So I wish I could fix that. You almost need like, or I almost need like a thing to say before you think, right? All right, before you think this, remember that it's going to be negative. So let's try to avoid that. No, I guess it's just how I am, but it's weird. And, you know, it's, I'm so grateful that he called me this morning because I love him. And we have a lot of great conversations. And I am glad, you know, and like I told him, I go, you know, I agree. We need to be here for the newcomer. But I also know that we all are on our own journey, and we have to figure that out on our own, right? We have to get sort of tired of doing whatever we're doing and find something new, and hopefully it's something like that, right? Hopefully, you know, if we're not going to a lot of meetings, especially during the pandemic, I know for me, I'm like, I remember the beginning of the pandemic, I was happy. I was sort of out of meetings. I was sort of burned out. I'd become cynical. I had become sort of toxic in the meetings and wasn't going to a bunch. I was going to the Sunday morning meeting, but that was it. And then we had the pandemic, and then I was obviously not going to any meetings. And so when that happened and when the meetings started to come back, I was like, whew, didn't realize how much I needed that. Didn't realize how much I appreciated that, right? Didn't realize how grateful I am that those exist. And I'm never going to forget that. And it's sort of happening a little bit now. You know, I go to these meetings, these step meetings, and I've read these damn steps so many freaking times. I wish we had 24 steps, right? But it's the same 12, which is fine. Thank you. Love the 12 steps. But like, you know, the meeting last night I didn't go to because I wasn't feeling well, but I also knew they were on the fourth step. I'm like, I do not feel like reading the fourth step. It's so long. So I have got to keep it, like I told my buddy James today, I got to keep it, you know, keep it real, keep changing it up. Because you get some time and you go to enough meetings and they get boring. And that, you know, they always say that addiction's over there in the corner doing push-ups, right? And getting stronger. And just when you think you have it figured out, bam, bam, it gets you. And I don't want to be gotten. So putting it out there. All right, I'm going to read Daily Reflections, and then I'm going to go. I got to get some stuff at the store, and we're going to have Super Bowl and friends over, and it's going to be it's going to be awesome. Heck of a good time. Very excited. All right. The Limits of Self-Reliance, February 11th. Didn't we read something yesterday that was about reliance? I don't know. Day before. Definitely not yesterday. I was not feeling it. February 11th. We asked ourselves why we had them, fears. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? We asked ourselves why we had them, why we had fear. Why am I afraid? Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? I don't know what that means. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? We asked ourselves why we had fears. I don't know. It's like doing a four-step, I would imagine, right? It's always fear, right? Fear started this. Fear gets us into it. You know, what's my goal? To not have any fear, right? We asked ourselves why we had fears. For me, it was always inconvenience. You know, what am I not getting? What am I not getting? All right, anyway, I'm not here to analyze it. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 68. All of my character defects separate me from God's will. When I ignore my association with him, I face the world and my alcoholism alone and must depend on self-reliance. I have never found security and happiness through self-will, and the only result is a life of fear and discontent. God provides the path back to him and to his gift of serenity and comfort. First, however, I must be willing to acknowledge my fears and understand that sources and power over me. I frequently ask God to help me understand how I separate myself from him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's that? Just sheer willpower, I guess. I think we've all probably had the moments where we're just white-knuckling it, right? That's why, you know, I talk about this stuff, as silly as it is, as silly as this podcast is, maybe to some people it's a complete waste of time, but to me, these are the things that start to begin problems, right? These little bitty things, right? These little bitty things that self-will maybe can't handle, right? But these little bitty things start to build up. And, you know, as I've shared over and over, you know, these little bitty things built up, and the next thing you know, we or me become weak, my foundation becomes weak, and it just allows something to sneak in. And it just happens so quickly. And I'm just rubbing my head like, how in the fuck did that happen? And it just so quickly and so simple, right? Like I said, how do they... One of the issues I had at that meeting in Easton was I didn't like the way they collected the money, right? I had always collected the money at the end of the meeting, and these guys started collecting it at a halfway point, and it just bugged me, right? I was ready to drink. I was headed towards a drink way before I got to that point, but these were just these little things that started to bug me, and I'm like, eh, it's no big, you know, I didn't take my experience from the program. I just took my self-reliance, my self-will, my white-knuckling it, my I got this and I don't need God, right? Because I have said, and I do like that the way that talks about that, you know, you're either working towards a relationship to God or you're working away from one. And that sort of starts in that third step where we start to turn our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding, right? We start making decisions that in turn have better outcomes. These are positive decisions, humble decisions, not self-based. And that, to me, is a relationship with God. When I start to make decisions, like not going to a meeting because of the way they collect the money, like not going to a meeting because I've been to the meeting too much, starting to become cynical, start working my way from that meeting, the next thing you know, you're letting go of the hand of God. And then you start walking away, right? That's the one thing about holding hands. It keeps you close. When you let go, you start to wonder. And then the next thing you know what happens. All right, anyway, went a little long. I appreciate it. Happy Super Bowl. Go whoever you want to win. Have a great day. Later.